those are the parts that get me as a baseball fan, whether I'm watching on TV or sitting in venue, is the ability to drill in and paint that picture or give context to that story that may unfold.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we have Tony Cook joining us. He is the Daktronics Product Manager for live events focused on show control. He's going to tell us about Data Studio for baseball, all the stats it entails, how it helps tell a better story, and more. And we're here today with Tony. How are you doing?
Great. Great. Had to find you guys here, but once I found this spot, it looks like a nice setup. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Don't tell too many people about where this is. So
it's tucked away in the corner by HR. So it's a safe place.
It's a safe place. Yeah.
And we're here today to talk about Data Studio. Is that correct, Tony?
Yeah. I think Data Studio, as well as the rest of the product offering that Daktronics brings to the major league and minor league ballparks this time of the year. So absolutely. Yeah.
Focusing on baseball. I should add that. We're focusing on baseball today. Mm-hmm. And I thought you had an interesting intro question for us, right?
I did. I was going to put you guys on the spot right away and say, when you go to a major league stadium, because when people think about sports data or baseball data, you know, they maybe gravitate right away towards batting average. But asking you two in the room on the spot,
okay,
what else is there besides batting average when you're in a baseball stadium?
In terms of data, what do we see?
I immediately go to ball strikes and outs as like a quick thing, but
that is the basics. You need the basics. How many outs are there? What inning are we
in? What inning? Yep, that's another one.
And another thing that baseball is unique for is runs by innings. They usually keep that up on the display at some place.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Out of town scores one. How are other teams doing around the league? Yep.
It depends on the batter that comes up, and it's not just their average, but there's a lot of different situations that batter has been in. I remember seeing that at one of the recent games I went to last year. Mm-hmm. Was they'd show, okay, home average, away average. They'd show
with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, runners in scoring position.
In the middle of a day game or night game. Like, there's a lot of weird things that you can get into.
There's like a power stat, too. Like, their batting power.
Yeah, when you get into just even batting stats, right, there is game stats, there are season stats, there are career stats, there are situational stats, mm-hmm. and whatever you're doing for the batter is also there for the pitcher. So you guys were getting into is, you know, all those different flavors of just batter and pitcher stats, mm-hmm. and team stats, mm-hmm. and so on.
Yeah, because they always go to, like, they do the home and away, and then they do the situational, but they could always also do, like, indoor stadiums, outdoor stadiums. Yeah. How does he do in cloudy weather or sunny weather? Baseball is kind of notorious for getting into the nitty-gritty of stats and details.
I was going to say, there's always a lot of stats with other sports, but I feel like baseball's on a whole nother level kind of with their amount of data.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is a different game, right? You're sitting in the stands, and people that aren't baseball fans struggle, right? Because there's a pitch, and then there's a break in the action while the ball goes back to the mound, and then you have to do something at that point. Your mind has to do something. So, you know, I wonder what the next pitch is going to be. I wonder how this guy's doing in this situation. I wonder if he's going to steal. I wonder if the guy's playing deep enough in center field. You know, those are all the things you have to almost fill in, and that's why I think people would say you need all this data in baseball. Is you're telling a story, but you got to be really good at storytelling because there's a lot of dead time between pitches in baseball. So,
I can't help but think of the movie Moneyball. Just the amount of data and stats that went into that. But
So you guys ran through quite a few of the stats, but I'll throw a few more in there maybe that that you don't think about all the time, and that is leaders. A lot of times when you're coming in pregame, you see home run leaders and you see RBI leaders and you see batting average leaders for around the league, for teams, for pitchers, and so on. Standings is another piece that people sometimes don't always get at. Pitch speed.
Right? Yeah,
pitch speed is something that is commonplace as well. And then with in the world of baseball today, you've got StatCast for Major League Baseball, where you have ball tracking, right? You have spin rotation, you have exit velocity, you have all that information. Then you also have player metrics. You have distance traveled and speed and all those things too. So that's that whole next generation of data that we get into is StatCast data. Maybe a couple more to round it out, fantasy stats. Fantasy stats are there. Lottery information, a lot of 50-50 lotteries are all in baseball stadiums today. But that really, I mean, as we just ran through, there's a lot of moving parts to a baseball game when you think about stats for a baseball game.
Yeah, and you even mentioned the next-gen stats. I was seeing something where they were showing a player in the outfield running to make a diving catch, and they showed, like, the speed that he got to and the angle he took on the ball.
Distance covered.
And then they even compared it to the number of players that could actually make that catch, and it was something like 5% of outfielders could have made that catch. And it's right. crazy what they can dig into.
Right. It gives – and that's the challenge with these – with the next-gen stats is you have all these measurements today, route efficiency, right? That person's track that they took to the ball, was that – did that result in them catching it or missing the ball? But then it gets into context. It says, okay, if Willie Mays was out there, could Willie Mays have made that catch?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, I mean, grab your greatest players of all time and then take that number because you need to compare it to something else to know if it's good or bad.
Yep.
Right.
So
I can imagine that's something, you know, it's good for fans and everyone to see, but that's got to be, how's that translated? Maybe a weird question, but to coaching staffs, right? Like that's got to be a huge thing to know who to play, or even coming up in the minors of like seeing those kind of stats of how good are they in the field. It just seems like it hasn't been there before. But
yeah, you're spot on. I mean, the intent really of all this player tracking, all these metrics have really been first and foremost for the coaching staffs to evaluate players, you know, and agents and contracts and everything like that. And so the data's been there for a while. It's just bringing it to the fans and then letting the fans be able to digest it and understand it is where it's maybe been a lot slower. The coaching staffs have had this for a while.
Yeah, they don't want to overwhelm the fans right away, right? But
exactly. If you would have put up a launch angle and so on a couple of years ago, people would have looked at you really funny going, what is launch angle?
Yeah.
And exit velocity, they wouldn't have known. But today, those stats have become pretty commonplace in most ballparks. So it just takes a little time.
Yeah. And so kind of we're talking a lot about data here today. We can dive right into what are the differences, though? You mentioned all these stats. Is there anything different when it's between minor league baseball and major league baseball?
No, that's a great question. So we have at Daktronics, we've assembled our products into what we call baseball packages for major and minor league.
Okay.
And we assemble those so that if somebody needs everything, they can purchase that. If they need just a minor, you know, the basics or everything, we can do that. But there are a lot of moving parts for that. And then there's different packages for major and minor. But really, most everything is available to both.
Okay.
Both of them can do game, career, season, player, team, leader standings, situational, out of town, all that stuff is available to both. The only real difference that I can think of right now is there is a product called StatVision that when we use it in Major League Baseball is a patented technology.
Mm-hmm.
It has the ability to recommend the most relevant stats for that particular situation.
Okay.
So you guys gave some situations, right? If there's a guy on third base, you know, less than two out with a 2-0 count on a day game in Yankee Stadium, how's this person doing? And what StatVision can do is it can look at that situation, go into the database of stats that it has available, and bring back to you and say, hey, this person's batting 240. And you may not want to put up 240 if the guy's a home player because, you know, so you can set thresholds. But StatVision is the piece that's patented. It's really the jewel in what we have for Major League Baseball. And that's only available for Major League Baseball just because that data only exists right now at that level.
Okay.
And you said that's for the batter, but it could also be for the pitcher, right?
Absolutely.
It could also say, how's he pitching when there's somebody on third with two outs?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it really looks at what is available. It will search through all the databases that we get from Baseball Advanced Media, from Elias Sports Bureau, from our DakStats database, and first of all, say, is there a stat that relates to this particular situation? It may be a pitching situation, and brings them back, highlights them for you, and allows you to basically tell the story pitch by pitch in real time. Because if you, maybe I'll just talk a little bit. Before we had StatVision, a person in the control room had to be the total stats guru. They had to remember in their head going, this batter, this pitcher with this count, I think he's doing pretty good. And then they'd have to go find the data and put it up there.
It takes a while.
Yeah, but the ability to do that from a pitch or an at-bat standpoint or even a pitch standpoint is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, they never got the data actually up on the display.
Right.
That's where StatVision came in, automated the process, and allowed them to now do it in real time.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how you would do it manually, and that sounds like a nightmare. That just because then you have to, if that situation comes up again later in the game, like you still have to be able to add on to what it was before, right?
So. Right. You were searching press guides, you were searching the internet, you were searching paper copies.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was all of those things were part of it.
And the guy just hit the ball, so all the research you did is gone because you didn't get it up there in time.
Save it for the next at bat if it's the same situation, right?
Yep. Boy, I hope that happens again because we're ready. We're ready this next time.
Yeah, now we're ready.
So, yeah.
Oh, man.
So maybe that ties together. That's probably the only piece that's really different between Major League and Minor League Baseball is that StatVision piece.
Okay. And then we're talking about Data Studio, some of the Dectronics has. Then how does that fit into all this, and what can people expect from that?
Okay. Yeah, Data Studio Baseball is a new product that we just discussed at our baseball user group, and we can talk about baseball user group here a little bit.
Yeah,
I know
sure.
Justin talked about that in the podcast here last week.
Yep.
But Data Studio Baseball is a new product, and why do we have Data Studio Baseball? I'll start there. I'm going to go back a little bit here to Baseball Advanced Media. Baseball Advanced Media is a system that runs at every major and minor league ballpark that collects data for their purposes, for their business purposes. So they're collecting all the balls and strikes, every at-bat, every strikeout, every home run, and so on anyway.
Okay.
The teams in minor league baseball are all about efficiency. Mm-hmm. Right. Their budgets are not huge. Their staff is not huge.
Okay.
I was talking to one minor league team when we were doing research for this product, and they said they started the season with 18 people on staff and they ended it with eight.
Wow.
So they had to be very efficient by the end of the season to get this done. So looking at minor league baseball, they said we have Major League Baseball already keeping track of stats. We have also paying somebody to run your stat system, your DAC stat system. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to have two people to do this? That was really the main reason for this was, can we streamline things? Can we reduce costs? Can we reduce a spot? A lot of these places don't even have a space to put that operator. So can we save them space and time and money? We did that, and that was really where Data Studio Baseball came from. Can we connect to Major League Baseball? Can we pull the stats down that they're already collecting and not have to have a DAC stats operator?
Okay.
That's where the impetus came from. It is a new product. We have it developed right now, or it's being developed right now. We're going to be running it at spring training here a little bit to give it some test time, and then we'll be running it at some minor league parks to get it going. But really the idea behind it is to reduce or eliminate the need for a DAC stats operator and pull the stats directly from Baseball Advanced Media.
Okay.
And are there different levels of this package that we're offering?
Data Studio Baseball by itself is not, it's its own product today.
Okay.
It is, I would call it an early version of the product that will morph into something more. The reason I say that is because the trend, I'm going to go a few different directions on you guys.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The trend really in baseball is Baseball Advanced Media has gotten better and better and better at their systems in terms of tracking balls and strikes, in terms of all this next gen stats, in terms of all of that information. And I would say that they've gotten better at delivering it in real time. And maybe the question is, why do they need to get better at it? Well, Major League Baseball, of course, like everybody else in the North America right now, is looking at sports betting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sports betting is a trend. Obviously, to do sports betting, wouldn't it be great if I could bet on a pitch and then, you know ahead of time that the pitch was thrown, and then sports betting was so far behind that I would be guaranteed to be paid every time?
Right.
I mean, that's where the real-time nature comes in. It's got to be right there, because otherwise, obviously, somebody's going to profit very nicely if you can predict, if you know the answer before you ask the question, right?
Right.
Yep.
But kind of tying this back, Baseball Advanced Media has gotten really good at collecting the data and then delivering it. And with sports betting coming along, it's becoming more and more real time all along.
Mm-hmm.
So the question in my mind as a product manager is, when will customers in minor league baseball and major league baseball want to get away from the traditional DAC stats workflow that they've been doing for 20 years? And we now connect the plumbing up to Major League Baseball or Baseball Advanced Media and start pulling data from them instead of generating it ourselves.
Okay.
So because all this is taking place, Data Studio Baseball is really the first step towards kind of putting our toe in the water here, saying, let's hook up to them. Let's take a look at the data. If it's real time, if it's accurate, if it's, you know, if it's good enough, that might be the direction everybody wants to go. So in minor league baseball, again, they want efficiency. They want fewer operators. They want less cost.
Right.
And as well, maybe I'll ask you this question. What's the difference between a major league experience and a minor league experience? You go to a minor league park. What are you going to do?
You're going to have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not say you don't have fun in both, but there's a lot more like engagement things with the crowd, games going on between innings, that kind of stuff.
Minor league is trying a bunch of different types of things to even make the experience more fun than just the baseball game. And baseball, major leagues might take it, I mean, I don't want to say they take it more seriously, but it almost feels like, you know, it's more in depth.
And we've had people on here, you know, we had Garrett Young on, who's with the Astros, and then Tim Gunkel from the Mets. And whenever they talk about, you know, if they had experience in the minor league, what it was like for that versus major league.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a little more buttoned up. It's a little more polished in the major league. They can't get away with as much stuff as they would try in the minor leagues because, it's usually about a huge entertainment factor in there.
Right.
And not to say baseball second, but it kind of is.
I think they've even almost said that. It's like the field in the stadium is their stage.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't have to be first for the main part of the entertainment. It doesn't have to be.
And then it switches when you go to Major League Baseball. It's baseball is the first. And,
right.
Here's my next question then. So I agree with everything you're saying. Do you know the players' names at the minor league level?
No, not unless it's...
probably the power hitter number four, but that's about it.
Unless it's Tim Tebow, because isn't he still one of the minor league teams? Or Michael Jordan when he had the stint?
Yeah. Right.
That's about it.
but that's you guys are spot on. So in minor league baseball, if I can go get the stats from somewhere automatically, and I can get them there, and as long as I can put them up with the guy's face as he's walking up to the plate, everybody's fine. Because I probably don't know who Matt Anderson, the shortstop, is for the Lake Area Captains. And I maybe don't even, I mean, honestly, I might not care that he's batting 283 and has four home runs. So it is more about entertainment and so on. So when we talk about Data Studio Baseball, connecting to it, and let's give this a try in minor league baseball, their needs are different than a major league park. So Data Studio Baseball in the world of pulling stats and replacing the ecosystem that they've had for 20 years is going to take a while. Mm-hmm. But in minor league baseball, we really think it's going to be a great fit.
Okay.
Because it addresses their biggest problems and their biggest challenges, and that is fewer operators, less cost, less, you know, more things that can automate.
Nice. And I'm just thinking even more about, we've talked about all the different types of data and statistics that come in, but I mean, when you start talking about sports betting, a whole nother, I mean, that's what you're saying, we're testing it to see what it looks like, because it's, I can't imagine the number of prop bets or other types of things that would go on, but that just exponentially goes up with all the data already of a data-heavy sport, right?
Yeah, they're looking at the stats and saying, what's the chance that he's going to throw this curveball? Well, in this situation, he usually throws a curveball 60% of the time, and then they'll bet on that, and they'll have odds based on that. That brings in a whole nother level of data.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking the main advantage to minor league is what you said, you know, streamlining it, less operators, condensing it down. So then what would you say it is for the major league then? Is it just being able to pool all this data together, or what kind of, what?
Ooh, I know.
What?
Storytelling. It's going to lead to the storytelling because it's going to show those stats for them and they can decide if they want to pull that in and put it on the display.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Justin.
Good answer.
Oh, yes.
I see some competition here between you guys. So.
Definitely.
Cal.
I'm going to bring some more questions for you guys.
Yeah. Usually I do them better than Justin, but he got me this time.
Hey.
But you're right. I mean, Major League Baseball, for minor league baseball, it's about efficiency and, and saving operators. In Major League Baseball, it's really about getting access to all of the data that Major League Baseball or that Baseball Advanced Media provides today and being able to provide context to it as well.
Right.
Because there is this whole world of Major League Baseball data right now that is not necessarily directly exposed to the teams. So at Daktronix, as a product manager, I'm looking to be efficient and help the minor league teams put on a good show or a good enough show to augment the rest of the experience. Mm-hmm. But in Major League Baseball, fans are now saying, okay, I need route efficiency. I need this. I need player metrics. I need pitch metrics. If I'm sitting at home watching this on Fox or ESPN, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I want to see in stadiums. So it's really opening up those doors to all of this other data that currently exists in Major League Baseball.
And you mentioned earlier, you know, it's about being able to present it in a way that's digestible, right? So they have this mountain of data, but then how do they get it on the displays, whether it's, you know, the main video board or a ribbon display or whatever it may be, but then being able to do it so it doesn't just look like a whole bunch of lines of code, essentially, right? So they want to have all this information, but then how do they present it out for everyone to be able to easily see it and maybe not overwhelm them?
Well, and that's a great point, because sometimes people don't think about this either, is the fact that when you're presenting information to an in-venue display, it's different than presenting it to broadcast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? Broadcast, you have the benefit of a color commentator to explain what that number means or why this situation is cool or why he threw that pitch in the dirt or threw a high fastball on an 0-2 count.
Yep.
You know, you have that benefit. In venue, you don't. You know, your PA announcer is probably...
You can only do so much.
Right. The organ's playing and he's doing something else.
Yep.
So your data that you put up on the display has to be self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring these new data types and these new next-gen stats, a lot of times you almost need to bring a visual along with it so people understand that launch angle is measured from here to here, or pitch velocity and spin is when it leaves his hands or leaves at the pitcher's hand, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Route efficiency, right? Here's a bad route efficiency and here's a good route efficiency.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or here's how Ken Griffey Jr. would have got that ball at the fence.
That's cool.
Versus so-and-so, pick a player. So
yeah, no, that's a very interesting point I never really thought of. But he did say a good point, Matt, first of all, before he answered that question. But
yeah, thanks for swinging back to that.
But just the whole, I never even thought of it from that way of you have the benefits of a commentator to explain things verbally, but you don't when you're in the stadium. So it really is important. I mean, it makes so much sense now saying it aloud and hearing you talk about it, but I never thought of that before.
Yes, you really need to dig deep and either find video assets or diagrams or graphics or something to help educate just as much as inform your audience. Because if you're telling them a story, right, and you're talking a language they don't understand, it's pretty quick and pretty boring story. So
yeah, he took the perfect launch angle here. And you're sitting in the stand saying, I don't know what that means.
When you're saying visuals, that makes me think of the scorecard graphic type stuff, right?
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, because I remember that was a big deal when we first started doing that. I can't remember how many years ago, but it's one of those, that's a visual way to represent data, but then also tied in with sometimes that's how people actually kept track, right? Because in the back of the programs or anything you get at a game, they'd have a traditional scorecard thing in the back, and when they see that on the video display, it's kind of their way of checking to see if they're doing things right. But
Well, in a lot of those things that we do are all trying to drive sponsorship. We're trying to create graphic elements or elements that a team can say, hey, I can put a sponsor with that and generate revenue off of that too. Mm-hmm. So we're not... It's a mix. I mean, sometimes we're just there to entertain and amaze fans and so on. But a lot of times we're trying to find elements that the team can utilize for revenue. So if we do leaders and standings, hey, can I get a sponsor to say, hey, you want a sponsor? We'll put your logo up when we do our leaders and standings, and now I can sell sponsorship on that. Scorecard graphics is an interesting one because that's old school, right? That's when I was a kid in Little League sitting on the bench with a paper book and a pencil, and I would write in, you know, strikeout or single. I mean, that's the part that kind of connects to me. The old, or maybe the kid in us, or the traditional baseball side to modern ball, right? You could have a scorecard graphic up there right next to launch angle.
Yeah.
Launch angle's brand spanking new. That scorecard graphic is 100 years old.
Yeah.
So. Right.
Sometimes I get stuck doing that with City League softball.
I was just going to say that.
That's usually everyone in the dugout goes, I don't know how to use that. You got it. Like, there's only two people that actually know how to keep track of it.
What does F8 mean? What? you flew out to center field.
And I don't know if about you, but when I'm keeping book, I used to always hope for a 1-2-3 inning.
Yeah. That's easy.
It's easier than coloring in all those runs.
Right. Okay. We had bases loaded and the ball was hit to right and he bobbled it and that guy scored and. You know, I mean, it gets a little trickier.
Now I'm marking an error and who, he was the third guy. He got out, not the second guy. Yeah.
So I didn't do baseball much when I was younger. Did you, have to do it for both teams though, right? Didn't you? Or was it just like, if you did your own book, it was just for your team or did you have to do it like?
I think it's done different levels and different levels of sport. I mean, sometimes, you know, if it's a high school game, there's probably one book for the game.
Oh yeah.
So somebody
official
does
book.
The official book.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, and if you're talking softball like I used to play, it's a little more unofficial, let's say that.
You usually want to at least just keep track of how many runs the other team got so they don't lie between innings and say, I only have you at four. What do you mean five?
We would just have a designated counter on who stepped on home plate for them. But for us, we'd do our own book. And then for us, launch angle, back when we played softball together, we probably thought of that when we'd run into each other in the outfield. What was the launch angle of after we bounced off each other?
Here's where Matt should have ran instead of right into Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt's route efficiency was not real good.
That would be a red line on
the
scorecard.
You're the first person to ever say that to me, Tony.
Or it's too bad those two took the same route. You know,
it'd have been efficient if one of them would have called the other off.
Yep.
Yep.
No, this is good though. So we got a lot of things going on for data for baseball. Is there anything specific to 2020 that we need to be on the lookout for? Or is this kind of all part of the same thing?
I would say that we just had the baseball user group here. We had 35 or 40 different teams here. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 30 or 40 different people here from various minor league and major league teams.
That's when we had Tim. Tim came up here during one of the breaks and did the podcast episode with us, too.
If I was going to summarize what's new for 2020, I would say that we'll do a continuation of the things that we've been doing, tracking the StatCast data and making sure that that is usable by our teams and achieves their objectives for storytelling and sponsorship that they want to do. We did do some bug fixes in our game day product, which had to do with a little bit of some backdating. It was really more of an internal thing. So now everybody can run the same version. We don't have any confusion over spring training versus major league versus minor league, regular season. So a few minor bug fixes. Our big push, though, really was really this Data Studio product and testing the waters to see how is this going to impact not only 2020, but then that will help determine what do we do in 2021, what does 2022 look like, when does this apply to Major League Baseball as well as Minor League Baseball. So it's really the start of the tip of the spear maybe a little bit here, and then we'll determine what happens after that.
I think, we had, like I said, Tim Gunkel from the New York Mets came in and talked to us, and he just talked about the baseball user group and what he really liked about it and how, you know, he got excited because it was like peeking behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And from a customer's perspective, he just talked about how much he loved networking with other people that are like him, but then also talking to people like yourself as to see, like, what's coming up next and what's new.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious from like your side, like what do you like most when everyone comes back for that? Because it's kind of his side from a customer's viewpoint, what he likes with it. But I got to imagine you like it because there's some direct feedback as to the type of stuff you're showing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That event is I would like to say it's win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. Our customers come in, they can share their story. They can share their challenges, their successes. They can visit with their peers. They can compare notes. If something worked well for one team or didn't work well for one team, they can share that so they don't they don't make mistakes over again. But from a product manager standpoint, having that many customers in-house for direct feedback is great in terms of it's really two things. It's things you haven't thought of yet that they bring up, but it's also affirmation of where you think things are going. You know, hey, we're thinking of doing this Data Studio baseball product. This is why we're doing it. This is what it's going to do. What do you guys think? And when they nod their heads and go, that would be awesome. Now I don't have to do this. I can save $3,500 a year on this or something like that. I don't have to push my guys to the side so I can squeeze another person in the front row.
Yep.
That's where the real benefit comes in with these guys is it's all of that when we get those guys in-house. And Tim Gunkel, shout out to him. I mean, Tim is the classiest guy. I mean, I've known Tim for probably over 20 years now.
Okay.
Wow.
And just always enjoy seeing those guys. Friendly faces coming up every year.
Yeah, he was awesome. It was the first time I ever met him, and he was very nice. And he almost walked out, though, that podcast recording because Justin wasn't able to make it that day. And then he said, well, if Justin's not here, then I don't want to do the podcast. But he stayed anyway.
That was the best story I heard that day. Because that wasn't a fun day for me, but yeah, that was a good story to hear coming back.
I should never have told you that, but
what I really want is Tim Gunkel's voice because Tim's got like a radio voice. I mean, so he is spot on in front of the microphone. Yeah. So,
and we usually tell people they got to lean into the mic when they're talking. He didn't, but you could still hear him clear as day. It was just perfect.
Yep. Yeah, he's got a great voice for this.
So you said that there were teams that came back and from Major League and Minor League Baseball. Was there actual officials from Major League Baseball as well that attended?
Yeah, a great point. So we had, as you said, Major and Minor League teams, but we've been inviting we've worked with Baseball Advanced Media or Major League Baseball for years and years. I mean, going all the way back to 92 for Camden Yards was probably the first time when we did an official interface to Major League Baseball. So that's been... God, is that 28 years?
If my math is right.
Yeah.
Well, let me open the calculator.
And we haven't been doing user groups for that long, but we've been doing user groups for a while now. So every year I've invited those guys saying, hey, we've got 30 to 40 people of your customers here that, you know, you can do the same thing. You can ask them questions. They're going to give you feedback that you maybe didn't have access to when you're back in New York. Mm-hmm. So we've extended that offer a few times. And yes, this time, two gentlemen, Rob Engel and Brian Evans, from Baseball Advanced Media came out, and it was wonderful having those guys here. The teams appreciated it, having access to those guys. Probably one of the biggest benefits, we were in a breakout session, and questions were coming up saying, you know, what about this stat?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of us going, hey, yeah, we'll call Baseball Advanced Media, we'll get back to you, and so on, we answered the question
like
in 2 seconds in the room instead of, drawing it, you know, back and forth.
So there's multiple levels of collaboration happening there from minor to major to the baseball themselves helping with those stats and what's possible.
Absolutely.
And I got to think, you know, I mean, I know you deal a lot with the development group and engineers, because when you say things like, yeah, we're just going to tie into what they do, right? But there's a whole bunch of, can we do that? And working with them to collaborate on these to make sure that when you do it, it's done right.
Right.
But
yeah, I mean, the way this kind of goes with this Data Studio, going back to this Data Studio baseball program, is we called up Rob and Brian and said, hey, this is what we want to do. We want to connect to you guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want to pull stats directly from you instead of running our DAXStats product in minor league baseball. And they're going, cool. Yeah, that'll be fine. Then we said, okay, here's what we want to have happen. Matt is at the plate, and Matt just, I'm going to be positive here.
Thanks, Tony. I didn't know where you're going to go with this, but thanks.
Matt just doubled to right. You didn't strike out. You doubled to right. Okay. So now you're standing at second base, and now Justin's walking up to the plate. So Rob and Brian from Baseball Advanced Media, I need Justin's stats to be ready to go by the time he gets up there and gets announced. I can't wait for an operator to still be entering your double, putting you on second base and
see what the stats are
and see what the stats are and so on. I need to be fast enough so when this player is done, when the current batter's done, I need the next current batter like within a couple seconds. And that was kind of how this went. And they said, oh, okay, well, that's a little bit different. Because when we're driving the web on the website, nobody can see the game. So if you're 15 seconds behind the current batter, nobody really cares. Mm-hmm. Unless you're listening to on the radio and you're hearing live, you have no way to compare it. So that was the benefit of having Baseball Advanced Media here and having those guys involved is it ties it all together saying, I need the stats, but I need the stats at a certain rate in real time so that these guys that are in our baseball user group can do their production like they want to.
Right.
The last thing they want is Matt doubled to right. They break away and they show some great video clip and say double to right, and they announce a sponsor, and then they say, all right, next coming up, Justin, number 23, batting, you know, in right field, and they bring up the graphic and it's still Matt's face up there. Now you just messed up their production because you weren't fast enough to get it updated.
Yeah.
And at what point do you catch up and get it updated so like the next batter and stuff, because Justin probably followed and then struck out?
I probably followed it three or four times. I should give him plenty of time to get that stat up there on what I should be doing. And then I'd strike out.
That's the only situation that would work good, yeah.
Yeah, we won't say that Justin has actually been in this situation with runners in scoring position two times earlier in the game, and, you know, this is
he's 0 for 2.
0 for 2. Third time, and I'm benched.
Third time's a charm. So.
Oh, man.
But I think all of that is what brings that baseball user group together. It's the customers and their value that they have. It's getting the guys from Baseball Advanced Media, really putting that all together in one place for 2.5 days. Because it's not easy getting people to come to Brookings, South Dakota at the end of January.
I was just going to say the time of year is a big factor to that one,
you
too.
Know?
It's a beautiful place to visit in January.
I love it some years when they've come back and it hasn't been too cold, but it starts snowing and you can tell the people that are usually never around snow because they run outside and start taking pictures, you know, and selfies. Yeah. And it's like, oh, look, this is what it is. It's snow. Look, this is fun.
Yeah, there was one person this last user group. She was from, I think, South Texas, and she hadn't been around snow at all. And we had plenty this year.
Yeah.
And she kept looking out the window, and she really wanted to go do a snow angel. And I don't think she ever did, but she was intrigued, and she wanted to do it. But
that's fun.
You got to seize those little opportunities in life. Make the snow angel.
Yeah, they think it's fun, and then they're like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I had enough."
Okay, now I'm wet and cold. I'm just coming back inside, brush myself off here.
Well, we're going to switch to, on the Super Bowl, when all the confetti flew, and the guys were doing snow angels in the end zone.
Yep.
A lot of people have no context for what a snow angel even is, you know?
Isn't that cool? He's just laying on the ground, moving his arms and legs around.
Right. Yeah. And look, when he gets up, it looks like an angel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about data and statistics and how it compares for major league and minor league and what we're looking to do with that to enhance the fan experience and give a nice story. I want to know from your perspective, Tony, personally, what's your favorite stat to see when you're at a baseball game?
Ooh.
Is it like, if you see a certain situation, do you look and look for something, or is it really just, I need to know how many outs there are or the batting order or what do you look for?
Boy, that's a
curveball, some might say.
Good. Oh, wow. Asking the data guy what's his favorite piece of data.
I think for me, it is the situational side, because batting average just by itself is a season-long stat, right?
Mm-hmm. Not as much context, right?
Right. So the deeper you can go into context, saying in this particular situation, late in the game or earlier in the game or early in the game, runners in scoring position, down in the count or ahead in the count, those are the parts that get me as a baseball fan, whether I'm watching on TV or sitting in venue, is the ability to drill in and paint that picture or give context to that story that may unfold.
Right.
Right. It's the same thing. If you look and say, okay, you know, some of the greatest stories in baseball, well, in sports in general, is when somebody statistically is not supposed to succeed and they do, that's special.
Yeah. So. Recently, that's the 40-year anniversary of Miracle on Ice. That's the most recent example of that. Yeah. Off script, they won it all type of thing. But I think I like what you hit at there is you like that situational stat to see what might unfold. Because if you have this idea of like, oh, this might actually happen, you're on the edge of your seat. You're waiting for that next pitch. You're really engaged.
Right. Because as a sports fan, you're probably normally you're cheering for one team or the other.
Right.
So if the data shows you that you could be a little optimistic saying this batter's not that good in this situation, my pitcher's been really good, it makes you get a little more optimistic, right? Versus the other way, you're going, oh man, we're going to get, this is not going to turn out good, right?
Right.
You know, it gives you that sense of on the edge of your seat or just sit back in your seat because let's cover our eyes and see what's going to happen.
Right.
I was thinking it's almost for like catching up too, because either if I got to a game late or I turn on the TV or something, even watching a broadcast game, is that you want to catch up with how things are going. So if you see someone up to bat and they say how they're doing so far that game,
right,
it kind of helps you get back up to speed quick to see where the lay of the land is.
Yeah. And we've done special projects over the years too. We had a situation where years ago somebody said, here's what I want to do. A fan gets up, walks up to the concession stand, comes back to their seat, and there's a guy standing on second base. How did he get there?
Oh,
if I look out on the displays, I don't see anything. So they said, can you give me the information that shows the previous three batters?
Oh.
So when I come back down with the hot dog and the beer and I sit back in my seat and I see guys at second and third and there's one out, I can say, oh, looks like so-and-so struck out, so-and-so doubled, and then somebody else singled. You know, so that special requests we've honored those over the years too, where somebody finds a unique situation and we're like, all right, yeah, we can help you with that problem. So
I guess that's got to help out huge, because we always talk about people are afraid to leave their seats to go do things like buy hot dogs and beer. So like concession stands sometimes suffer if you can't provide that because you don't want to get up from your seat and miss all that. So then it creates only certain times you can get up from your seat, which then everybody else does at that exact same time, and then you're in long lines, and then it doesn't help. So it's being able to feel comfortable with leaving and coming back and not missing out is a huge deal.
And I'm sure there's a LED display company that'd be willing to sell you a display in your concession area to help you keep up with that while you're in your seat, or even to get a special display designated to the previous three batters in the outfield so everyone could see that.
Wow.
More LED, we're all for it. We support it 100%.
We'll say no.
Right. If you have real estate, we'll help you populate it.
Yeah.
Provide content and context as much as you want. So,
so Tony, one last question for you here. Is there anything you're looking forward to this upcoming season, or any place you're actually going to get to go watch a game that you're looking forward to?
I'm going to try and head down to Phoenix to spring training and really take in, again, what I was down there last year, and it's just, as you guys know, when you're on site, I mean, you just see things differently and things are just different. So I'm going to head to spring training. I'm going to try and hit a few major league teams. There is a project going on in baseball advanced media or Major League Baseball this year too, where they're starting to test out their automated ball strikes and outs.
Oh, okay.
You know, where they can actually track, and instead of having an umpire, let's say, I mean, I'm not sure all the details, but that's something that they're starting to do this year as well too. So I'd like to go down to Florida. They're going to run that in a league down there and just kind of take that in and understand what's involved there and how far out or how that's going. But no, I think I'm going to do some traveling for spring training for Major League Baseball regular season, try to hit some minor league parks, hit that automated ball strikes and outs, and just really, again, try and tune in to where people's minds are at. And when I say people, where is Major League Baseball's mind at?
Yeah.
Where is our minor league team's mind at? And try and connect those dots and put those pieces together so that, you know, we can stay on the cutting edge and stay out in front of these things and have people keep coming to Brookings at the end of January and wanting to see us and buy our equipment.
Doing it.
So,
yeah. Do you have anything else you'd like to add today from the data side or baseball side?
No, thanks for having me. It was great. I hope that this able to maybe give a little more context and to the breadth and depth of stats and why storytelling and not having a color commentator and all of those things mm-hmm. are different in venue than a lot of people maybe are aware of. So thank you.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for coming on and sharing that.
I think we're going to need Tony to come back after your trips here to let us know how they went. Maybe have some good stories that you can and can't tell on a podcast, I guess, but maybe we could talk about that later.
I'm sure there'll be a mixture. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to it. All thanks, right. Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.